Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines, president of Texas Values. Hope you're having a great week, a glorious week in the state of Texas, as we like to say often on this show. We talk about the issues of faith, family, and freedom in the arenas of the courts, the legislature, and the media. I've been on the road a little bit this week, and that will be the same next week as well. You know, there's a lot of things going on around the state related to elections, related to policy matters that we're involved in. And so, you know, I'm a kind of guy, I get bored if I'm sitting in my office a long time and I'm not always that productive. So I do a little bit better when I'm out and about, and I love interacting with people. And as you know, I say a lot on the show, government belongs to those who show up, right? So we got to show up different places to get good things done. But so we're going to talk a little bit about some of that today, some of the issues going on, the elections that are happening right now. I know there's a lot of focus on the presidential. There's a lot of focus on the Senate race here in Texas. Ted Cruz running for re-election. But there's some big races going on right now that sometimes will be under the radar. Also, the Republican Party of Texas has its convention towards the end of May. I'll talk a little bit about some of the candidates that are running for that chairman seat. So, and big news from the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday on a pro-life issue. And the NCAA may be taking an enormous vote today or some action if they can get their head straight on making it clear that men competing in women's sports is a bad idea. And that's what people from the left and the right are saying now. It's not a partisan issue. But someone who knows a lot about these issues and has got a great product that helps educate voters about these types of things is our good friend Don Stroud. Don is the Director of Strategic Operations for iVoter Guide, which is a project now of American Family Association. Our partner group, Texas Values Action, our 501c4, is the lead state partner with iVoter Guide for the iVoter Guide product. We do that primarily through our website, freevotersguide.com. This is an entity and an operation that started in Texas and has now really begun nationwide in a lot of other states. But Don's a proud Texan himself. As a matter of fact, his daughter interned for us many years ago. So she got to learn a lot about our work. And, you know, Don and I live here in Williamson County, so we see each other a lot. I know he's doing great work out there. And Don, welcome to the Texas Values Report. I think it's your first time on the show.
It is. And thank you for having us.
Yeah, well, it's good to work together with you.
Well, we certainly appreciate Texas Values. Y'all are a great partner, and we have roots in our origin, and as far as all the activities that with iVoter Guide and Texas Values, and the synergies are just well aligned. So we really appreciate all the work that y'all do on the policy front and helping spread the word about all the work that we're doing as well.
Well, no doubt. And look, I mean, you know, Texas is a big state. I mean, forget it. I mean, step back for a second. You think if you do work nationwide, that's a big pool to jump in. But even in the state of Texas, a lot of ground to cover. When you talk about trying to educate people about elections, most people, the overwhelming majority of people, they go to the ballot every 4 years, if even then. But that is the trend. There's a presidential election. They show up and then they're like, oh, there's a bunch of other stuff on the ballot and they're not really prepared. So our goal has been, y'all's goal has been, is to really have more educated voters. And so they know there are elections other than just every 4 years, like the ones we're in the middle of right now. We've got school board elections going on. We've got a runoff elections going on later in May, coming up very soon. And so your organization, so let's step back for a second. Tell us a little bit about iVoter Guide, really moving from a project and sort of a guide to an operation and a tremendous resource.
Very good, Jonathan. Yes, iVoter Guide had its roots with the founder, Richard Ford, back in the 1970s. He and his wife, Julia, sat around their North Dallas dining room table looking at candidates, trying to get some visibility on candidates up and down the ballot. They were tired of going into a voting booth and not knowing. And they would gather friends around and look to see how these candidates, where were they on the conservative to liberal spectrum, looking at voting records and just diving deep into the data. And that just continued to grow. He got a lot more traction over the years, formed a 501c4 organization, and put out a statewide voter guide, or covering all the statewide candidates, and certainly those that were in his particular congressional or state legislative district. And then in the mid 2000s, he teamed up with Jim Snieringer, who had developed a Bible software program that he had sold, and he was a super programmer. And so he and Richard teamed up and were able to take this online. Started out, of course, with Texas, and then over the years they rolled this out online to cover now all 50 states. So we cover all federal elections in all 50 states. We cover the Republican primary and those federal elections, and then of course all candidates in the general elections in those federal races. And then in 36 states, we go down ballot to cover all the statewide and all the state legislative races in their primary, Republican primary, special elections, runoffs, and then, of course, all candidates in those state legislative and statewide races in the general election. And then increasingly over the last 4 years, about 3 years, we started a focus on school boards, and we have a team devoted to that. We've also been expanding and increasingly covering judicial races. So we expect to evaluate over 13,000 candidates this year
Wow.
and over 5,000 races. So it's a significant undertaking, and we couldn't do it without great partners like Texas Values.
Well,
Obviously,
it's hard to imagine there's anybody else is covering that much ground. I mean, there may be, we were talking about this offline, entities like League of Women Voters who tries to, convince people that they're not partisan. I mean, it's such a leftist organization. I don't know that it always was, but it certainly is these days. But look, there's people that have tried this. We see it over the years. Sometimes it comes and goes. There's a voter guide, this and this entity or whatever. And that's not to say anything negative about past efforts, but it's not an easy thing to do. As a matter of fact, the way that Texas Values first got involved with partnering with iVoter Guide when Richard Ford was still very active, our late friend who passed away a couple of years ago. As a matter of fact, Texas Values is sort of a part of that lineage, if you will, because Richard Ford started Free Market Foundation. I was a member of that team. Kelly Shackelford ended up leading that group, and I was a part of that team. And then from that, board members of Free Market Foundation came together to help start Texas Values, and then we became independent with Shackelford still on our board. But I remember we had a voter guide before, Don, that was basically a newspaper. Right. And it was, I don't know how many pages, 20, 30 pages. And you had to look all through it. Where's my rep? And maybe you got lucky and you remembered your district number or something, and you remembered who ran before. So, but that's all we really had. And I remember we started our organization with about 300, 350,000. And Kelly was like, "Hey, I think you guys should, we should sort of give y'all the voters guide effort, and that should be what y'all do," which made a lot of sense. Because his organization was going national, we're going to stay focused on Texas. And I was like, "Kelly, that's a $250,000 project." And most of the cost was shipping this newspaper because it was so heavy, right? You get it into boxes, we'd send it to churches and all this kind of stuff. And so David Walls, our former vice president at the time, we were like, "Man, we got a budget problem." And iVoter Guide came around, and I'm not going to say what the number was because I don't remember if that's supposed to be confidential or not. It was a lot less than 250,000, and we were like, "Sold, okay." But it was innovative at that time, 10, 12 years ago. But we looked at it as a budget issue, but also we felt like things are moving in that direction. Now you go into the ballot box. I don't know. They don't, I guess they don't let you do this now. It's silly to me, but you can walk up there and you're holding your phone. Okay, tap in your address. Boom. It populates your voter guide for you, even down to the school board races, which are going on right now. So let me back up for a second. Right
Sure.
now is the first week. Well, it's actually 1 week of early voting. So, well, a little bit over the week. I'm sorry. April 22nd through April 3rd. And then the main school board Election Day is May 4th, which is a Saturday, which is sometimes unusual for people. They're like, "Wait, we're voting on a Saturday?" Because, again, they think about the presidential. Every 4 years, I go on a Tuesday. So, but let's talk about school board elections because those are happening right now. There will be runoffs later in May here for Texas. And you can go to freevotersguide.com or just go directly to ivoterguide.com. You'll see Texas Values Action there too as the lead partner. But what information are people going to find, Don, when they go to the website, put in their information, and their voter guide gets populated?
Okay, very good. Well, first of all, they'll see the political philosophy rating that we've given a candidate. If we've been able to obtain enough information through our research, either voting records, campaign contributions, endorsements, website, social media information. Also, if the candidate has completed our questionnaire, we've utilized that information to grade that candidate's political philosophy from a far left to a verified conservative rating. And then the candidate, the voters can click on the candidate's profile and look to see that background data that we've aggregated to be able to come up with those ratings. So as more, and particularly in these down ballot races, anything, when I say down ballot,
yeah, what is the down ballot race?
Down ballot race is anything under the below the presidential race. A lot
which,
of people, as you mentioned,
which during this time period, though, that this might be the only thing on the ballot, right? If your school board is having its elections now, some school boards their elections are in November, but I think most of them are May. So this time around, though. And you're right. During like in November, there's probably gonna be a lot of stuff on the ballot. But if you go to your school board election during this time period, maybe there's a city council race, some local bond or whatever. But there, you know, that school board one might be closer to the top.
That's correct. So it that may be the only thing, and it may not be. There may be some jurisdictions where no one, they're not even having an election either.
Yep.
The school district is not having an election. There may not be any local races. So. And sometimes the school districts don't even have an election because no one has filed to contest an incumbent. So yeah. there's it's not challenged.
Well, but, let me ask you this too. We were talking about this before we came on. Is it just you and I, or is there really a trend that people are more and more interested in school board elections? I feel like, you know, it sort of got overlooked before. You know, you knew the guy at church or wherever, somebody. You know, a friend of yours is on the school board. I mean, it just, you know, I don't think people put as much thought into it. It just seems like voters are looking for more, and they want to know who's running for school board races.
It's certainly as a result of all the COVID and lockdowns and all that, and some of the things that came to light, and certainly some of the craziness that we've seen happening across the country, like Loudoun County certainly lit a fuse with the current administration's response, calling parents domestic terrorists just because they're speaking up at school board meetings. We even had a parent here in Williamson County who was arrested for speaking up at a school board meeting over in Round Rock. So
yeah, Jeremy Story. I mean, it just, you know, and that school district has really come under fire for a lot of issues. We can spend a whole show on that, but you're right. So let's back up for a second.
Sure.
Does the iVoter Guide product, let's just talk about Texas, because most of our viewers and listeners are going to be Texas. Does it cover all of the school board races in this election cycle in April and May, or is it just a select amount?
It's only a select few. So we have 13 school districts we've targeted for this May, and that's 52 candidates across 21 races in those 13 school districts. So we have seven school districts up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We have four down in the Houston area, and I think three here in the Austin area, Eanes, Lake Travis, Dripping Springs. And then up in the, down in the Houston area, there's Clear Creek, Pearland, Spring Branch, and Katy. Interesting story about Katy. I'll come back to that. In the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we have Frisco, Keller, Dallas ISD. I'm drawing a blank off, but they're you can look on the website that and look at those races that we're covering in the DFW area. So the reason is the cost and the time to research a school board candidate is an order of magnitude greater than researching a state legislative or a federal congressional candidate.
It's like looking for a needle in a haystack, right? I mean, it's not always a lot of information to piece together.
Right, and we have to be very strategic in how we allocate our resources. So we're looking for those school districts that are bellwether and that can have a huge impact on a fairly significant student population. Yep. Just, for instance, the Katy and the Cypress-Fairbanks, Fairfield school districts alone, that represents over 200,000 students.
Wow.
And come back to Katy for just a moment. So last year, before the May elections last year, it was a 6-1 liberal majority on the Katy ISD. Victor Perez was the president of the school, was on the school board. And then conservatives elected three more and got a 4-3 majority in Katy. And then last August 28th, they had a school board meeting, passed a policy that prohibited the school district from withholding vital information from parents. It was a complete transparency bill. School districts could not withhold if they were calling a student by their preferred pronoun. And none of this, the gender ideology got turned on its head. So that was a 4-3 majority. And one of those candidates last year that won in Katy won by less than 300 swing votes. So an important thing to know about these school board races is that they are low turnout. Typically, the highest voting block are the employees of the school districts.
So they're like a captive audience, right? I mean, right. And I know there's some investigations in some of this because some of this stuff's not legal for them to be targeted that way and pressured to vote a certain way. But no, you're absolutely right. You know, Cedar Park, an area I lived in for a few years as I was settling into Williamson County, they had a city council race a few years ago. Guy won by 4 votes. And then they did a recount and it was, I think, down to 1 vote. I mean, it's, you know, these local elections can be that close. Please do not take these things for granted. And there's good information, right? This is what this resource is about, right? People want to know, you know, who gave to them? Who did they donate to? Have they voted in certain things? Do they have a voting record? That's going to be a little bit tougher sometimes for school boards elections, but sometimes there is some information. You might even see references or something that suggests, you know, they've said this publicly, or maybe there's groups that have endorsed them. And so, you know, people are a lot more active on social media these days, so you might be able to find some of that information and cobble some things together. But, and you're right. Look, you're talking about some of the biggest school districts across the state. There are 1,200 school districts, by the way, for all our listeners and viewers. That's a lot of ground to cover. Don't expect that to happen anytime soon with this resource. But you're right about being strategic. And some of those also are school districts where you see some of this tug of war in these values. And it's interesting because we get involved in a lot of these things that happen in school board issues, testify, work with local people and so on. And I saw it here in Austin ISD. Whether you're on the so-called left or right, parents are like, what? The school district is not going to give me information about my student? Are you kidding? Or, you know what? You may have some people on the left say, I'm okay with sex education, but you need to tell me you're going to teach my kid that before you do it, right? I mean, they still want to be involved in the equation, and the trend has been the opposite direction, sadly. So these, you know, just really highlight some of the importance of these school board races. What is allowed over time for y'all, you know, iVoter Guide to add more school districts? So if people are saying, well, I want my school district to be included next year or you know, moving forward, do you see anything there that suggests for people to be thinking, okay, you know, reach out to iVoter Guide staff, or what is it that, you know, and I know you mentioned some of that already, but is it fair to expect that there'll be more school districts, you know, the next cycle and on? Is that the trend?
Yes, that is certainly the trend. And we want to, and we have to make sure that we've got boots on the ground. We need to have pastors and churches involved, and they can make a huge difference. Just one congregation, just a small congregation can make a difference in the outcome if they just are aware. And so our intent is to educate and equip voters. An informed voter is a motivated voter. And so many people have not voted in these school board elections or these local elections because they say, well, I don't know anybody. It's nonpartisan. I don't know who the candidates are, so I'm not going to vote. I'm going to let those that are in the know vote. Well, the people who are in the know work for the school district. So what we want to do
quite
is
often
provide visibility. Yeah, we can't cover all the, obviously, John, you mentioned 1,200 school districts, and those are all over the map as far as which the sequence in which they have those elections.
That's right.
Every 2 years, 3 years, every school district is a vote on its own bottom as far as when they have their elections and how many are up for election and what the staggering. So it's important for voters and for those that are plugged in with Texas values to get informed about when elections occur in your local school district, because we can't cover them all. But we do have a resource on our website. And Jonathan, you know,
about do we have a graphic, by the way, Ashley, of the website, just so people can see what it looks like if they want to go there? Let me see what we've got. We've got the churches and elections graphic, but it's real simple. iVoterGuide.com. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I was going to mention, we have a really simple, quick read. It's an ebook. It's about 12, 13 pages. It's called Whose Side Are They On? What Your Local School Board Candidates Really Believe. And so it has some very practical tips that you can use and some sample questions that you can use to address. They're open-ended questions, ones you can Get some visibility on what candidates you can pose that to your candidates either, and they're accessible. That's one thing that people need to realize, that a lot of these candidates are accessible. They're local, they're grassroots, they're going to be knocking on your door. There may be candidate forums. So it's truly grassroots and local, and they have a huge impact on our culture and the policies that they set in school districts, even more so than a lot of the other upper level office holders at the state and state.
School board elections typically are quote unquote nonpartisan. So when you go to the ballot, you're not going to see an R or a D or Republican or Democrat or, you know, Green Party or whatever next to someone's name. And a lot of times candidates sort of hide behind that. I remember I was voting in a local election when I lived down in Buda, south of Austin. And I was new to the area, still trying to get to know people. And, you know, candidates were holding their signs as I was walking in. So I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I can ask them a question. And so one of the candidates I asked her, I said, okay, you're running, I don't remember, it was school board or city council. I said, who'd you vote for president? And she was like, her mouth dropped. She didn't want to answer. And I'm like, what? What? I mean, you're out here, you're talking to, tell me a little bit about you. And so, that was not a question she wanted to answer. And so sometimes it can be difficult, but you go to the ballot, the polling places, you see these people out there, ask them some questions. Maybe you want to avoid them. I don't know what your people's approach is, but sometimes that's the only way you can get good information. Unless you go to ivoterguide.com and get some of those resources. It's legal for churches to talk about, hey, there's an election. Go out and vote. Get informed. We've got a great resource on our website, Churches and Elections. People can check that out. Don, we're almost out of time. I know you've got work to do between now and so early voting is April 22nd, started on Monday through Tuesday, April 30th for school board elections in Texas, most of them. Saturday, May 4th is main election day. We've got runoff elections that start May 20th. There'll be a lot of activity also leading up to the Republican Party having its state convention late in May, a busy 4 to 5 weeks. So, but thank you for all the work you're doing, you know, Debbie and Corey and all the great people there, Beverly, that are part of this work, because we certainly have more information now than we used to. And I think that's a good thing.
That database is going to continue to expand, and that's going to provide us visibility for candidates down the road when they, for these local candidates that run for higher office. Now we're building a base of information. So now it's going to be harder for them to hide.
That's right. No, the message is going to be sent. They're going to become more aware that you're going to run even for school board. You know, people are going to want to know. There'll be people looking for that information. And if you choose not to engage in that process, you know, that might not look so good either. And so we'll see how that turns out. But ivoterguide.com website, you can go to, we have it linked from our website as well at txvalues.org and txvaluesaction.org. But we're thankful to be the lead partner, Texas Values Action is, with iVoterGuide on such a tremendous resource and all the great work. Don Stroud, who is Director of Operations at iVoterGuide, thank you for being our guest today on the Texas Values Report.
Thanks for having us, Jonathan. Y'all are doing great work. Keep it up, and we'll do great things together as we keep on pressing on.
Amen. I look forward to it. Okay. I got a couple of minutes left as Don exits our Zoom room. And look, I traveled, was in San Antonio yesterday, and somebody told me once when I was first doing this work that my former boss that, you know, he's out a lot and he travels a lot or whatever, because that's sort of how he gets his energy. And I didn't really understand it at the time. I was younger because I wasn't as out and about as I am now. Oh, but now I do, because I notice sometimes I'm a lot like that. I get on the road and I'm this and I'm that meeting or whatever, and I'll sort of draw a lot more energy, and I come back to the office and I'm ready to, you know, I've got a list of 100 things I think I can do. But I do enjoy getting to talk to people, and that's why we have events. In some of the major cities and markets in our state, you're going to see us about every 2 to 3 months having meetings, checking in with people, doing briefings, getting feedback, letting people know what we're up to, and sort of giving you an idea of what's coming next. I did that in San Antonio. We had a wonderful crew out there. We had a member of Chip Roy, Congressman Chip Roy's team there, Jordan Cook. Three of the candidates that are running for Republican Party of Texas chairman. We're not a Republican organization, but a lot of people that are like the work we do and support our values are involved in that process. They want to know who's running for the chair. Matt Rinaldi's announced he's not running for re-election. Abraham George was there, Ben Armenta, and Weston Martinez were three. I know that Mike Garcia tried to make it. He had something come up last minute, and Dana Myers let me know she was interested but could not make it. So there might be opportunities to do that with some other meetings we're going to have in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So be watching for that. Talked a lot about Texas Values University. You know, the San Antonio City Council is trying to take a vote later this year somehow to find some tax dollars that they can legally get away with, or not legally, I don't know, to help out abortion groups to ship women out of state to have abortion, because these groups are desperate. They're running out of money. You know, the Texas is now a pro-life state, and, you know, these groups have sort of fallen out of favor with public opinion. And so they're looking for every way, trying to come to the government, like the city council in San Antonio, to bail them out. So we're going to be opposing that policy. We'll see what happens if they actually do take a vote in September, but that's what they're scheduled to do. Supreme Court had a big case yesterday as well, coming out of the state of Utah, related to some issues that happen in emergency settings that relate to protecting the pro-life position. So we weighed in on that issue as well. And today, the NCAA is having a big meeting, and they typically take votes on issues. We don't know if they'll take a vote on a policy that makes it clear that men cannot be competing in women's sports, that you go by the birth certificate. That's what the NAIA has done. This is an entity that's a collection of colleges and universities across the country. They've got over 200 schools that are members. Trust me, okay? I guarantee you that female collegiate athletes are going to start making decisions on where they pursue their athletic career, on whether or not they feel protected, and they have a fair playing field on how to be and the ability to be successful. So I'm sorry if that was complicated in how I just said it. Female athletes are going to start saying, I'm not going to your college with my scholarship to compete because you allow men to compete in women's sports, all right? So the NAIA has already decided this issue. It's a simple issue. The momentum is on our side. 25, if not more, states have already passed state laws saying we're tired of this. It's common sense. We shouldn't have to pass a law, but I guess we have to, because people aren't getting the message that men are not going to compete in women's sports. You've had hundreds of former athletes coming forward. You've got the left and the right. You've got Martina Navratilova, and then you've got Riley Gaines, okay, saying men shouldn't be competing in women's sports, right? Martina Navratilova, one of the most famous lesbian athletes, one of the most accomplished tennis players. She was probably one of the first female athletes to be public about her sexual orientation and those issues, but she stayed very active. I even see Chris Evert giving her a few attaboys, at least it seems that way to me, on social media. You've got Sage Steele, former ESPN anchor, and Michelle Tafoya, former sports broadcaster, sideline broadcaster, and just sports broadcaster extraordinaire, coming forward on these issues saying that men shouldn't be competing in women's sports. And so the momentum is out on that side. The Obama administration stopped short of saying that specifically, that they were going to change their approach to that issue and try to put their foot on the scale when it comes to that issue, even though they weighed into a related issue. And so it's very clear that the momentum is moving in the direction of the majority of people and common sense that men should not be competing in women's sports. Justice delayed is justice denied. The NCAA should do the right thing today, or their days are going to be numbered, in my opinion, if they don't come to their senses. They already lost one board member over this issue. So we're going to see. We're going to be putting an action alert out there, and our hope is that the NCAA will take a vote today and make it clear that they're not going to continue to allow men to compete in women's sports. So some good stuff on that. Hey, listen, we're going to be at the Republican Party of Texas State Convention because we know a lot of people that care about our values are going to be there. Talk about some of the work we're doing. We got events coming up that we're going to be scheduling in different parts of the state. Granbury, look out. Midland, we're going to be doing something in Collin County again. Houston, we're coming to see you, all right? Spring, Tomball. So check for those. But the big event is in September 13th and 14th, our policy forum. Tom Oliverson, who announced that he's running for the Speaker of the House in Texas, going to be one of our keynote speakers. We're going to have one of the former NCAA board members, Bill Box, going to be there talking, and a number of great people will continue to announce more speakers and names coming up soon. So get your tickets now, all right? And listen, the other thing is our budget cycle ends at the end of June. We've got a lot of money that we need to raise to cover our increasing expenses on some of these issues we're getting involved in that we're having success in. So please consider that 501c3 tax-deductible donation today. Go to txvalues.org. You can support projects like Texas Values University and much more. And that's how together we'll protect faith, family, and freedom in Texas. And we'll talk to you next week on the Texas Values Report.